Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut, with the pastor, the Reverend Mark Copeland.
Greetings all, and welcome to January's lesson. Now, I know we're ushering in a new year, 2023, so Happy New Year. And we are, well, the new year, right? Ushering in new year, new possibilities. We're kind of thinking of, we can think of new life. Right? Revitalized and renewed life, the same sort of life that we find in the Lord, right? And speaking of sort of this revitalization, this renewal that we have with the Spirit, we have looking forward to in the coming of the kingdom and the renewal of all things, we can kind of think about that here in the upcoming January. The theme for our January is kind of appropriately so. We have just finished celebrating the birth of our Lord in Christmas. We are an in-between time as we approach the Lenten season, right? And so we're going to spend some time reflecting. We're going to spend some time reflecting on the person of Jesus coming up here in January in the last 2 weeks. You know, coming into February and then eventually the season of Lent, right? We'll kind of be thinking about what does it look like to be a member of the kingdom, to belong to the kingdom, and of course the price that had to be paid to buy our spot into the kingdom, into our reconciliation, you call it, into heaven, into our salvation. But again, ultimately, it's this. This idea of the rebirth, the renewal, all things are new again, right? And what we have coming up here, which is kind of unique and interesting, is January 8th, we sort of remember and commemorate the baptism of our Lord, the day that Jesus was baptized. And we can kind of remember our own baptism and what that symbolizes. Of course, it symbolizes the death and resurrection. The old person dies as they go under the water, and you pull them up, and they're born again. They're born anew. They're reborn. Now, of course, baptism itself doesn't do that. We know that our rebirth or our renewal or our being born again is a softening of the heart. It's God removing the heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh in which he writes his law on. And we become a new sort of people, new kind of people. We're reborn. And so when we look at our baptism, of course, it's an outward symbol or event that represents something that's happening on the inside. Okay, so it's an outward representation of something that's happening on the inside, right? And so we remember Jesus' baptism. Remember, he's coming down, and John the Baptist is baptizing folks. And Jesus comes down, and he says, I want to be baptized, or I'm going to be baptized. And John the Baptist says, No, Lord, you should be the one baptizing me. You should be the one baptizing me. And Jesus says, Nope, I'm going to be baptized for the fulfillment of the law. And we know, of course, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Jesus doesn't need to be reborn. Jesus never needed a new heart. He was born sinless and perfect. So Jesus never needed to be born again. He never needed to have his heart. He didn't have a heart of stone that needed to be replaced with a heart of flesh. So God the Father, you know, could write his law on it. And Jesus was the perfect lawgiver, and he was the perfect law keeper. And we know this, that, remember, the sky opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And you heard the voice from the heavens, God the Father, saying, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." So what was that all about? Right? What was happening there? What? Remember, we're in a season of prophecies, right? So what prophetic vision or what prophecy was fulfilled with Jesus's baptism, right? So I'd like to take some time, and we'll go to Isaiah chapter 42, right? It's a prophecy in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 42. The New International Version, which I'll be reading from, kind of has the subheading called "The Servant of the Lord." In this passage, God, the Creator God, points out His servant. He points to him and says, "This is the guy. This is the guy that's going to usher in the kingdom. This is going to be the guy that draws all people to God and ushers in the rebirth, the renewal of all things, the new beginnings that we can read at the end of Revelation, of course, the new heavens and the new earth, or this kingdom, as if it may be heaven, as it is in heaven is on earth. But we look at 42, it starts with, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." So right away, we have this sort of this coronation. God is announcing, "This is my chosen one. He is going to be the one that brings justice to the nations. My spirit goes with him." Right? This is the servant of the Lord. This is the announcement, the same sort of announcement that we see at Jesus' baptism. He's the one that's going to usher in heaven. "He will not shout or cry or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope." So this coming Messiah, this one that is endowed by the Spirit, that's going to bring justice to the nations, he's not self-promoting. And Jesus wasn't self-promoting. He wasn't shouting on the street or crying out and raising his voice to say, look at me, I'm, you know, God's anointed. He wasn't self-promoting. It wasn't about him or like his position, right? He wasn't a prideful guy. Jesus was not prideful. And ultimately, you know, it's his faithfulness that brings about the justice to the nations, right? It's his faithfulness to God's law, his faithfulness to his calling, which we know, you know, hindsight, we know it's his calling to the cross to be a payment for our sins, and the resurrection and the ascension. And now he guides church life, you know. He in the Spirit guides church life. And Jesus isn't going to falter or be discouraged, even in these tough or, you know, rough circumstances, right? So it's not as if Jesus looks at the, you know, the 9 o'clock or the 5 o'clock news and he's like, "Oh, I'm just, it's too discouraging. I have no idea what to do. There's no hope." Jesus isn't going to falter, right? And now we get into, this is what God the Lord says, "He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it." So this is the one who's announcing the Messiah. When the heavens open up in Jesus' baptism and the Father says, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased," It's the God, the Father, it's, you know, the one part of the triune God that gives life to the earth. He created the earth and heavens, and he stretched them out, and his providential care, his, sometimes it's called the common grace to just everything, is still the reason why we have life on earth. If he were to remove himself, life would cease to be. Right? He is the source of life, of all things that are good. And he is the one that calls out, starting in verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the peoples and a light to the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." So this servant of the Lord, who we can see connected with God announcing, this is my guy, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Think of it, this is the servant of the Lord, and this is what he's called to do. It's Jesus himself that is the covenant to the peoples. Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf on one side, and on the opposite side of the coin, he also took the penalty of the world's sins, of the sins of the world. So not only is he perfect and righteous, and he has good standing, and he brings justice by fulfilling the law, he also took the penalty, right, on both sides. So he, Jesus himself, is the covenant. So we know covenants, they often have, you know, covenants have if-then statements. If you are, which means there's blessings that go to fulfilling a covenant. God blesses you if you fulfill the covenant. And there are curses that come with breaking the covenant. So here's this interesting thing about Jesus being the covenant, or you could say the new covenant. You could say the covenant of grace. You could say, you know, the new time of grace, the church age, whatever you want to call it. But this new covenant that's in Jesus, the blessing that you get from following this covenant by receiving and accepting it is reconciliation with God. It's a relationship with God. It's being in right standing with God. That's the blessings that Jesus brings us in this new covenant. No, well, what's the curse? What's the curse of the new covenant? Because Jesus died for the world, which means the world now, the covenant is extended to the entire world. He didn't just die for Israel. Israel was the one that had to really live through and contend with the old covenant, right? We look at the Old Testament, that's primarily an agreement between God and Israel. Israel didn't fulfill their end of the bargain and they lost the land. That was their curse. In the new covenant, again, the blessing is union with God. The curse is separation from God. If you reject the new covenant that's in Jesus, right? If you reject Jesus, whom God made as a covenant, the curse is separation. And you can get into that. God casts you out, but it's separation. You're lost in darkness. You lost in darkness. But this new covenant just isn't one that resides within a particular group of people. No, it expands. It is, that's where we kind of get our term to be an evangelist. It expands, right? It goes out and tries to find people. It says, he will be a light to the Gentiles. And Gentiles really just is another word for nations. It's you and me. You're either Jewish or a Gentile, right? How do you know if you're a Gentile? You're not Jewish, right? So you're just the nations, right? A light, a beaming light that draws the Gentiles to the Creator God, the God of Israel, right? He opens the eyes of blind and frees the captives and releases the folks from dungeons who sit in darkness. And of course, Jesus in his life ministry, he did do this. He brought sight to the blind, right? But I'm thinking that, and he can obviously still do that today, but I'm thinking it's largely symbolic of what we see happening here in 42. If you're blind, you're blinded by the darkness of the separation from God. And so he brings the light. It allows you to see sort of the state or condition that you're in so that you run to him, run to God. You're no longer a prisoner in a dungeon of darkness. This darkness is sin, right? Sin and destruction and separation from the Creator God. Well, he opens your eyes so that you can see. He opens your ears so that you can hear. That you're no longer a prisoner to your own self-desires. You're no longer a prisoner to sin. You're no longer a prisoner of circumstances. He essentially, coming to Jesus and trusting in this new covenant, that Jesus is this covenant that God has put forward to all humanity. He lifts you up out of that darkness so that you can see and be free. So that's kind of, I'm thinking that's the direction we ought to go and think about as we go into this new year. That's the direction we ought to go with our lives as we reflect on Scripture, as we reflect on what Jesus has done for us. And ultimately, as we go further into it and into Lent, what does it look like to be a kingdom person, right? To live as somebody who's had their eyes open and they're no longer blind. Well, I think that'll be it for now. I hope to see you later, and I pray that you find blessings and peace in this upcoming new year. God bless everyone, and be well.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut, with the pastor, the Reverend Mark Copeland. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.